Florida Farmers returns here and continues on. We're in Conrad, Montana. Look at this lineup. Cindy Johnson from Conrad, President, Montana Farm Bureau Federation, Women in Leadership in Montana. We'll be talking about that on the program today. Jillian Street will join us a bit later on, farmed in the Chester area, not far from here as well. She is the director of the Montana Department of Agriculture. So that's one of the things on tap here, but we have got a lot of stuff here. We want to talk about trade. We're going to talk about farm labor. We'll talk about grizzly bears. We are going to be talking about how we need our farmers and how we appreciate our farmers, and that's why we are here on the For the Farmers Tour at Helena Agri Enterprises in Conrad, Montana, on Voices of Montana. Yeah, appreciate that. You can tell there's a crowd here, and it's got that morning excitement going on. We got that For the Farmers excitement going on as well. We'll be a bit later on out there in the field thanking these farmers because they're putting in a lot of work, and now you're seeing the harvest kick in. And so a lot to talk about here on a For the Farmers show. As I mentioned, a great lineup. We're going to get right into it. Tom Schultz again, host of Voices of Montana, co-hosted again today by Colter Brown, who's director of the Northern Ag Network.
Wow, Tom, this has been just a fun week to be able to be here in the Golden Triangle visiting farms, a lot of camaraderie and a lot of optimism. The grain market's up this week, so what is not to love?
Yeah, really. And Colton Young with us as well. Good morning, Colton.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having us again. Glad to be back here in Conrad.
Yeah, beautiful. And then Cindy Johnson can join us here. You don't live too far down the well. What's how far is too far, right? 20 miles this way or 20 miles that way. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here as well. One of the things I am interested in talking about is this International Year of the Woman Farmer. And as we talk about more and more women becoming in leadership positions here as well, you're a good example. And you're a good leader and a good mentor for other farmers around here as well. A lot of issues to talk about, but let's start with that, Cindy. You know, what's it like to be a woman in agriculture nowadays?
Well, Tom, I've always said to people that I don't really consider myself a woman in agriculture. I'm just a farmer, you know, so it's really not important to me, but I do understand the need for women to get more engaged in leadership because so many of our farmers today are women. Nearly 40% of us now are women. So, you know, it's kind of important that we get engaged at a different level and take part in policy conversations and rulemaking. And it's a great opportunity.
What do you bring to the farm? Because decision-making is going to be different. Concerns are going to be different. Men are from Mars. Venus are from women, so to speak. you see that play out a little bit. What do women bring to agriculture?
Well, sometimes men, you know, they say that women and men are different emotionally, but I think that men bring more emotion to farming and ranching.
I bet.
And women are more practical in their conversations about the decisions that need to be made day to day. Sometimes my husband says, should we sell grain? And I say, yes. And so he always waits for me to say yes. And I go, well, I guess this is the way it's going to work. You
know? I was looking around the room to see if there was any reactions out there, too, because that's kind of fun.
You know, Cindy, with this International Year of the Woman Farmer, you got to travel to Washington, D.C., one of the many times, I should say, you've been to Washington, D.C., but you got to go to the White House to an event kind of recognizing this year. Tell about that.
In March, the International Year of the Woman Farmer was celebrated, but also International Women's Day, the 8th of March. And in our house, we don't celebrate it as International Women's Day because that's my wedding anniversary. So,
but, celebrating nonetheless.
Yeah, we did. We did celebrate. And we did get a great opportunity to go to the White House. They had a reception for us in the actual White House. And the president and Melania both addressed the room. There were about 100 women there from all over the country. And it was really an honor to be there with other women leaders and other women who are involved in government and get to meet some of those folks and shake hands and rub elbows. It was a great opportunity.
And that was just one of the times you were in Washington. How many times have you been this year? Three or four, I'll bet.
Seven. Seven so far. But they're all great opportunities to visit with the folks on Capitol Hill, to visit with the agencies. We had some great interactions with the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of Interior. They've all been very gracious in offering us time, especially folks from the West, because those public lands issues are so critical to us. And it's rare that I think you get that kind of an audience, and we're really happy to have this administration so engaged with agriculture.
Well, we're so thankful to have you engaged in going out to Washington and all the traveling that you put in on behalf of Montana agriculture. I think we have to talk about last week, though, where the Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, came out for a huge announcement on grizzly bear management. I think an issue that Montana Farm Bureau has been leading and fighting on for decades now, but a big step forward just announced last week.
It was great. It was great to be there with Secretary Burgum and the governors from Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana. They made their announcement that they were invoking the 4D rule to allow management of the grizzly bear to start to migrate to the state. And all of these states have a great track record in managing wildlife, and especially those apex predators that cause us some grief in ranching especially. But even up here in farming country, we have interactions with grizzly bears that are not good for farmers who are trying to farm. The wildlife is coming off the eastern slope because there's so many grizzly bears, and Washington gets that. Secretary Burgum gets that, and he was very receptive to us in February. We entertained him. He actually came to Bozeman, and we entertained him in the Farm Bureau office in Bozeman, and he has listened, he's heard us, and he said the time is now. It's right. You know, it doesn't mean that you and I can go out and automatically take care of a problem if we've got them in our yard. But what it does mean is that you're not going to have to send a request to take care of a problem up the ladder all the way to the federal government. The state can make that decision more immediately. If you've got a grizzly bear terrorizing your sheep, you make a phone call. They're going to send somebody right away, or they're going to give you some kind of direction, but from the state level, not from the federal level. And so we are enthusiastic about watching that unfold. And ultimately, our goal is to get grizzly bears delisted and full management come to the state.
Well, and that was, Cindy, you know, that was just the big first step, I think, is recognizing that the recovery efforts have been met. And, of course, Montana Farm Bureau, along with several other organizations, have been expressing that for the past several years, that the recovery goals have been met. And it seemed like we kind of just kept moving the field goal posts a little bit. But to see this announcement, I think the big question now is what's next? And, of course, we're currently in the middle of the comment period for this. From your perspective, what do you hope or what do you expect to see come out of this after the public comment period ends?
I expect that there's going to be some pushback from folks who really believe that grizzly bears should remain endangered forever. But we all know that's not the case. We need to be able to take care of these problems that interfere with farming and ranching in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. And my vision for the future is ultimately full management of grizzly bears will come to the states and will be able to make sound decisions. Like Governor Gianforte did say last week, there's no intention of creating a hunting season. We don't want to hunt bears. We want to be able to live with bears, but use management practices that are beneficial for agriculture and the grizzly bear.
You had a Teton County Farm Bureau member that joined you meeting with Secretary Burgum, who had a grizzly bear encounter that he got to share with the secretary. Tell just a little bit about that. It's fascinating.
Yes, Chase Delwo from Teton County, he was out with his wife and they were doing, they have a haying operation, but they encountered a grizzly bear and the grizzly bear attacked him, mauled him, literally had his head in his mouth. And when you meet Chase, He had a buzz haircut, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, that poor man. He said it was so traumatic for him that he couldn't even watch the Disney show Brave with his daughter because of the bears at the end of the movie.
Wow.
So I can't imagine what it was like. But for him to be able to step up and share his story, it had a huge impact, especially on those other governors that were in the room last week. It was it's an amazing story of survival and then dedication to bringing that story to life for all of us so that we can feel what he felt. You know, I just really appreciate people like Chase who step up.
No kidding. Well, that's just one of the things that Montana Farm Bureau has been working on. But I want to touch on another announcement that you guys just came out with yesterday and working on water issues in the state of Montana, specifically exempt wells, and trying to move that forward as we prepare for the 2027 legislative session and working collaboratively with other ag groups in Montana.
Correct. We're trying to make sure that we preserve senior water rights. And the real problem with water rights and exempt wells in the state of Montana is that the rule has been circumvented. It's been manipulated to benefit people who have large housing developments. And that is not, it's not fair to the people who are farming and ranching in those areas, because they have no opportunity to weigh in on those exempt well applications. And so our desire is to fix the rule. And we don't want to fix the rule so that it interferes with any farmer or rancher's ability to create an exempt well for residential use or for livestock. But we need to fix the rule so that we can prevent Montana's water from running down the drain, basically. And so we have, we've built some bridges and managed to make some good decisions, and we're moving forward with getting bills written that are going to solve that problem.
Well, that's a big step forward. And certainly it's something that maybe not every farmer or rancher deals with in Montana, but there are areas that are very affected. I mean, in the Bitterroot, in the Gallatin Valley, producers are actually seeing those impacts happening with mm-hmm. the urban sprawl.
Indeed. And it doesn't mean that it couldn't happen in suburban Conrad or suburban Chester. You know, it can happen. It can. And so we want to make sure that those folks, that agriculture in general, is protected.
Cindy Johnson again, president of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. There's so much to talk about here as well, but why don't you hit some of your priorities again? Man, maybe you talked about them, the grizzly bear and getting the water thing situated. What else is on the list? What are some of those big things that you want to see Montana accomplish?
Well, I'm not sure if it's just Montana, but we would really like for that farm bill to get across the finish line.
What?
It
I
just
thought everybody gave up on that.
No. In fact, Senator Bozeman last night did say that he thought that he was going to be able to move it out of his committee and get it to the floor before their August recess. So we're encouraged by that.
Do you like it? Do you like the farm bill?
You know, for the most part, we do. Okay. There are some things that are being dealt with on the side that we had hoped would be included in the farm bill, and that would be a resolution to the Prop 12 question 3 issue, which basically allowed the state of Massachusetts and the state of California to dictate standards for confinement for animals that we grow for consumption. And one of the other issues is the Labor Act, or the labor issue, and they're working. They did release a new rule that they're going to try to run up the flagpole about allowing those folks who are here in the United States undocumented to enter into the H-2A program for agriculture labor as a legal means to get involved in labor, rather than having, there are so many farmers and ranchers across this country that employ people who are undocumented, and they live in fear of their employees being rushed away. Mm-hmm. I get that, you know. Mm-hmm. In Montana, we don't depend so much on the H-2A program, but we do more and more, because ag labor is just so difficult to find. Mm-hmm. And if we give these people a legal pathway to not have to go back to their home country and go through the H-2A process, but they can just come into it here where they are and then eventually go back home, It's a great opportunity for ag labor, for sure.
Thank you. Yeah.
And then the last issue that we had hoped that they would address, but they're tacking it onto their resolution that they're trying to pass to get the big bills passed. But it is disaster aid, and so that has been attached to the reconciliation bill instead of being addressed in the farm bill. So those three issues that we had hoped to accomplish in the farm bill will have to be dealt with outside of the farm bill. But for the most part, I think the farm bill is a good bill.
That's good. That's good to hear, right?
Yeah.
Cindy Johnson again from Conrad and the president of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. Thank you for your leadership. I appreciate that. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. A quick shout out here. Got to talk with Joan Cronenbusch from Conrad. She's with Town Pump. We're talking about women in leadership. She's another one of those as well. So Town Pump, one of the great sponsors of this for the Farmers Tour, but as well as agriculture all across Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. We're back live at Helena Agri Enterprises in Conrad, Montana on For the Farmers Tour. The evening social gets underway at the Ponderay Golf Club at 5 o'clock tonight with Colton Brown, Colter Brown, and Colton Young. We're with now Brian Acklestead standing by, but Corey Falk joins us, Colton.
Yeah, you bet, Tom. You know, it seems like we can't shake Corey Falk out of the For the Farmer story. He joined us in Great Falls on Tuesday, back for day two, but sounds like Wendy's at home actually doing some work. So
yep,
she's saving the operation out there this week. But Corey, you know, here with Farmers Union Insurance, a big sponsor of the For the Farmers Tour, and Colter and I talk a lot about your Facebook videos that you're posting out here, especially in the drought that we're in. And early this spring, you know, it was looking pretty rough. Of course, there was a lot of rain that came in later in June and whatnot that kind of turned things around. What were you seeing kind of in your area early spring and how it has evolved now?
Yeah, you know, we were seeing the worst conditions probably since Dust Bowl days. There were a lot of blowing dirt, a lot of depressed farmers. You know, the commodity prices are still down. I still have customers that are run out of operating money. So we're not over the hump on the bad part, but there is help. And that's one thing that the Browns have been so good at pushing, right, is that you can kind of come out of your funk here if you just go get some help.
Yeah, well, you bet. And in some of your videos that you were posting, I mean, you were in the field looking at the difference in the soil moisture, that topsoil moisture. It was a big difference when June came around. How much rain did you guys get in that month, and how quickly did it kind of turn fields around?
You know, up around where we're at, I think we went from about 5 to 10 inches of rain on our farm, probably 5. But it took a while to turn around, right, because only half the crop had come out of the ground at best. And so we're still seeing some effects from that. We're still seeing some dry stock ponds and things like that. But, man, it looks a lot better.
And we sure appreciate what you do, Corey. And you know, we've talked a lot at Northern Ag, and we have the Beyond the Weather movement, talking about rural mental health, the importance of sharing your feelings, making sure everybody's okay, you're not alone in this. We know the ag industry provides a lot of challenges, and I feel like you're open to that more than anybody, really, about sharing just how important your mental health is.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's a lot. We've all been taught to be tough, right, and not share these things. You guys on your network have done a lot to make this better, which is great. And me personally, I've never really gone through mental health stuff other than I'm obviously an anxious person. But I did end up, through all of this, talking to all those farmers and stuff, I got where I was basically depressed. So if you feel like you don't have the motivation to do stuff anymore, you're tired, there's help for that, right? I went to the doctor, I got a little pill, and I feel 10 times better. So.
Well, how do you, you know, I think the hardest part about that is, like you said, we've all been kind of raised just to be tough and push your feelings aside and get the job done, right? But how do you start those conversations? It can be really challenging, especially for rural Montana and the ag industry. What advice would you give as far as that first step to getting to that point and being willing to kind of open the door and share how you're feeling?
Yeah, and I think it all goes back to what you guys are talking about. Us retail guys are by default sort of counselors for all the farmers, right? Because they call and they unload on us, which is great. But you guys have helped. Natalie Sims and Sunburst is great. They've kind of helped train us on the retail side how to talk to farmers. And if you see somebody having trouble, how to deal with it, basically.
Yeah, so. You bet. Well, I think something that's been evident on this whole farmers tour here, Tom and Colter, is you can see how important those relationships are between the growers, the agribusiness folks, and just the camaraderie that's happening in this room right now. It's so impressive to see.
Yeah, Corey, you might as well stay with us. We're going to talk a little bit about farm labor here as well. But you know, be a part of this, too, as we
sure.
Welcome Brian Acklestead from Galata here, a producer, and I will say it right out loud here, a Grizz fan along with myself. Good morning, sir. Thanks for coming along. You know, Cindy Johnson talked a little bit about the labor issue, right? And as a producer on the ground there, you know, what are your thoughts? And you actually have gone to a labor summit, and are we going to get over the hump on some of those challenges?
Well, first, thank you for having me. Good morning, and go Grizz. It is a work in progress. The labor issue is going to be with us for quite a while, and there is work taking place on the federal level. We don't tend to get too involved with that as the commodity checkoff organization. But me personally, I have two gentlemen from South Africa that work for my wife and I. And our operation would not be surviving right now without their help. And so it is very important.
You bet. And Brian, you know, Cindy talked about the bill to kind of reform that H-2A program. For you yourself personally, your neighbors that are using it, talk a little about just the function of the program. Are there improvements needed to be able to help growers literally find the labor they need?
Yeah, there's always room for improvement. The first thing I'm going to recommend to anybody that's interested in it is start early. Start early. Talk to your neighbors that have folks that come from either Brazil or South Africa or lots of other places. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Learn from their mistakes, because we've all made plenty of them. Learn what works. Figure out what doesn't work. This last year, something that stumbled up quite a few people was, and I don't know what the cause of it was, but getting visas out of South Africa was a super slow process. My guys were supposed to be here the first week of April, and one of them showed up just a week late, but the other one didn't get here till almost mid-May.
Wow.
And so that time frame is super critical. It's almost like, well, why should I have a second guy if he's not going to get here till seeding season is practically over? So start early. I don't know what the cause was, but hopefully the legislation can try to fix whatever that was. But start early. Talk to your neighbors. If you want them here the 1st of April, put down March 15th as the start date, okay? Because then that gives you the flexibility to bring them here on the 27th of March. Because if you put it on April 1st, there's another 1,000 farmers that have 3,000 guys coming up, and they're all trying to fit on the same airplane. And I don't have to tell you what happens to airline tickets when that happens. So give yourself the flexibility to shop. And when you start this process, you don't know that we're going to have snow up until the 10th of April, or we might be hot at the beginning of March, and you can get an early start. So give yourself that flexibility. Don't let the system have the opportunity to stick it to you, for lack of a better.
You know, Brian, you were on a panel in January at the Montana Stock Growers Association held an Ag Labor Summit. And one of the big discussions, of course, was talking about the timeliness of getting the visa program, the paperwork, all of that accomplished. But another part of that was the seasonality aspect of it. And we are starting to see reform, as Cindy mentioned earlier, and a big push for that is the seasonality and trying to make sure, you know, these workers can stay for 350, 355 days a year. Talk about the importance of why we need to get that changed, because we know there's work year-round and that the timeline doesn't always work for producers.
Yeah, I don't have cattle, so my personal need maybe isn't quite as great, but there's many cattle producers around here that also crop. They need that help 365. And so that option should be there.
Yeah.
So they have the opportunity to bring those people in so that they can use them full time. You know, it would be wonderful if we had enough domestic labor that we didn't have to rely on this.
Right. Yeah.
And we try to, but there aren't the people that want to do the work. Mm-hmm. And I've had nothing but great luck with the young men that work for us. The one thing that I said at that labor summit, and I'll say it again, is you get out of it what you put into it.
Yep.
And our youngest daughter nannied when she was in Australia shortly after high school. And she had two positions. One treated her as a member of a family, and the other one, she was a time clock employee. And I think you know which one she enjoyed and which one she probably came home early from. So my wife and I decided we're going to treat our guys somewhat similar to that. And so while I don't pay a year-end bonus like a lot of guys do, they get bonuses throughout the year. We take them on trips with us. We go to the mountains. We go to the lake. We go to Grizz games. Next week, they're going to be in Missoula with us for the Luke Bryan and Jason Aldean concert.
Oh, very good.
Those are things
that's
that,
good.
You know, a lot of these other guys aren't going to get to do.
Ten seconds. How's the farm? How's crops?
This last week's been tough, and this next week's going to be even tougher.
Right.
We could use a drink.
Hope that happens. Corey, how about you?
Yeah, about the same. You know, it's been 3 weeks since it's rained up there, so it's better than it has been.
Yes.
Corey Fowle, KW Insurance, and Brian Ackleston, a producer from Galata. And also, Brian, what's your title real quick? Chairman of the Montana Pulse Crop Committee. Thank you for that leadership that you guys both provide
Voices
for us
Montana.
In Montana Ag. Great to have you joining us here. We are two decades strong and working on three. And 406 in today, Conrad, Montana. Yeah, I know it's going to be some 95, 6, 7, 8, 9 plus degrees. But they are farming in this weather as well. And as Brian Ackleston said, we could use a drink of water. So I hope that does come. It's a pleasure to be here. Helena Agra Enterprises, one of our presenting sponsors as well. And we've got a nice crowd here today. And it's a little bit noisy. I like that. Don't you, Jillian?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it when producers get together and chat and mingle and just have a great time.
Jillian Street is with us here, the director of our Montana Department of Agriculture. So good to have you. Thank you for coming down. I appreciate that.
Well, I am just so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
I know you were busy with a lot of things, and so I'll tell the public, you are sacrificing, I think, some sleep to get here today, too. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem at all. That's what the job's all about.
Brian Ackleston also stays with us, too. We want to talk a little bit more about the Farm Bill, but the H-2A program as well. Colton Young is here, as well as Coulter Brown. We got to get that turned up a little bit. Great. Live audience here. It's really fun. Jillian, we had Cindy Johnson on earlier as well, right? And we're looking at it's the International Year of Women, the Woman Farmer, right? But one of the things that stands out is how much leadership there is coming from women in agriculture. And you yourself as well, a good example of that, a good mentor, too. Talk about that. Talk about that dynamic and how it makes you feel as a public official, but also personally.
I think that the International Year of the Woman Farmer is more about shining a light on the fact that women have always been incredibly involved in agriculture and how important their role is. Like Cindy said, 40% of farmers and ranchers are female. And the leadership portion of it is so exciting. You go down to the FFA groups and you see a ton of young, capable, awesome young ladies and young gentlemen that are actually working together instead of, against each other. It is all about collaboration. And that is why I think International Year of the Woman Farmer is such a great time to do it, is because we do collaborate together all the time. It's not one against the other. It's both together. So, and the women that are doing the leadership in our state and across our nation, they have a great voice. And sometimes that's the best thing that we can bring to the table, is our reasoning and our voice and our ability to share our story. You guys are out there in the fields working every single day doing, a lot of hard labor. And that's what I can bring to my family, is being able to tell the story, being able to understand the story, and being able to share that with a lot of people.
Is it important that it's an international year, to recognize that around the world? Because there's a lot of third world countries where it's 40 to 60% of women that are involved in agriculture, and they don't always have the resources, so they're working in a different dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, I have gotten the experience of being able to go onto farms in Panama where it is 100% female labor. The men go off and do the fishing, and the women are out in the fields doing all of the agricultural labor there. And just to see how important it is that we work together all as a whole towards things, and really highlighting that is important because, honestly, men have been highlighted for a very long time as the farmers and ranchers, but every single one of you has a wife or a mother, and they are out there doing the work as well.
They drive tractor, they drive truck, I won't throw that.
And they have to cook lunch, and they have to get the kids to school. Yeah. It's the busier job, I'll guarantee it.
Go ahead, Colter.
Well, Jillian, I'm glad you mentioned, going to Panama, because I think that might be one thing folks don't realize is the work the Montana Department of Ag puts in developing these markets overseas, which are critically important for our crops. And we've got Brian Ackleston joining us too, chairman of the Montana Pulse Crop Committee, working hand-in-hand with the Department of Ag to promote our pulses overseas. And I'd have you guys talk about the Ola Montana program. Brian, I know you went to Columbia a couple summers ago with our own Brett McCray down there promoting Montana pulses.
Yes, I did. It was quite the opportunity. It's a partnership with the Checkoff Dollars and the Department of Ag, where we help fund the Ola Montana program, which is for market promotion for pulse crops in particular in Latin America. So, yes, I was in Columbia a couple of years ago. They just came back again in June from Columbia. We've also been over to Chile. They do things down in Mexico and Panama. It's a wonderful program, and the quality that Montana is known for is one of the big draws. And it's been a wonderful partnership between the Checkoff and the Department of Ag.
And great to see those Checkoff dollars at work. I mean, you've actually built business through that program, whether it's traveling to Columbia or bringing those buyers here to the High Line.
Yes, we have. We work very closely with our, I'm going to call them the helpers. Whenever you go on one of these trade missions, there's a foreign company in that country that's in charge of organizing everything for you. And so I call them the helpers because they help do everything. And we have partnerships with a couple of the major retailers and packers down in those countries. And we've gone in and we've done market promotion programs in grocery stores. We did a food giveaway in, it was Barranquilla. We did that in Colombia. And we gave away food packages to about 500 of the more needy people in that country. And it was kind of a heartfelt moment, seeing the look in those folks' eyes and all the handshakes as you're handing out the food and the hugs and realizing that we had the opportunity to impact people's lives.
And Jillian, it extends beyond pulses too. I know you've traveled a lot to South America and you're promoting grain, beef genetics even. I mean, talk about some of the trips you've been on.
Yeah, so I have gotten to go to Panama, Peru, and Colombia so far in South America in this position. And it's about going down there and making relationships and then having them come back and come to Montana. Once they get to be here in Montana with our inbound missions that follow our outbound missions, they get to see the way we do things. And we all are kind of numb to how cool the things that we do really are.
Yeah.
They come here and it is so impactful. The idea of how the land transcends through the food that we produce into their health matters to them. And in South America, relationships really matter. That's why I like working in those marketplaces, is because when you shake a hand, you make a deal, and you have a long-term relationship, and that really matters. So them coming here after we go down there and have the initial, you know, like, I'm taking the effort and energy as a diplomat to come down to meet you and invite you to our state, that is exactly how we get them to come here. And once they get here, they fall in love because what we do is so important. And it really touches them to
Director,
be here.
Director Jillian Street with us here again. Helena Agra Enterprises. It's for the Farmers Tour. Conrad, Montana. Colton.
Yeah, and you know, talk about Jillian from the Department of Ag side as we look at the market today. And obviously we can talk hours and hours about higher input costs, lower commodity prices. But this is the work currently being done to try to expand our markets. This is what producers want to see. This is exactly the job for the Department of Agriculture, working with other committees such as the Pulse Crop Committee and trying to expand markets to find an avenue for our products to go. Talk about how important it is in a marketplace today.
It's incredibly important. Montana is going to probably always have to be an export state. I mean, we have a million people and we produce a lot of food. And so having great markets and having reliable markets is a top priority. That doesn't mean that we don't need to add value to products here or that we don't need to try to get more of our Montana food onto our Montana plates. It just means that we really have to have a focus on export markets and getting all the great food that we produce here out into those marketplaces.
You bet. Well, I know that's such a big part of your job, but there's so many other hats and avenues that you can go on and talk about as well. What else is going on right now in the Department of Agriculture perspective as far as big focus points as we're approaching harvest season and, of course, the second half of 2026?
Well, I just returned from WASDA, which is the Western Association of Directors of Agriculture, where we were talking about a lot of federal issues that we are faced here in all departments of ag. I think one of the number one issues, and every farmer in this room can attest, is labor and labor force. We do have some pretty decent legislation that has been written up by G.T. Thompson. It is moving through the House right now on labor reform for H-2A program. And we have a pretty large consensus across all 50 states that this is good legislation. We need to start having those conversations and we need to start making compromises because we need the help to be able to keep the help that we have here. And, you know, I've been a user of the H-2A program for about 12 years. We have kids that have returned to us now for 5-6 years. And they're my kids. I you know, they have a nation that they want to go back to. They have families that they want to go back to. But they come here and they work and they give us so much and they matter. And being able to make that more consistent, more concise, and better available to our producers, I think is a huge hand up.
Jillian, we're talking constantly in the ag community about the need to get young people involved in agriculture. The average age of a farmer in Montana is 58 years old. But here on our tour this week, we've seen as many producers under that age, and probably even more than over. So it seems to me in the Golden Triangle, we've got young producers getting involved, the next generation. As you think of the community here, is that true, or do we have young people coming back to the industry?
Yeah, we do. The average age on my farm right now is about 25 years old. I got a 24-year-old, a 20-year-old nephew, an 18-year-old kid, and then our South Africans are between the ages of 20 and 26.
Do you work them like 20-year-old kids, too?
They just work. They're farm kids. Nice. They good. Just work. You don't good. Have to work them. I mean, some of y'all watch my son play football. He works, you know. So, but what I will say is that I think our area is adapting and doing something that a lot of areas in agriculture aren't, and I'm really proud of it. And that is the older generation is listening to the younger generation more. They're allowing the younger generation to make decisions and make changes. I mean, we have people that are, you know, really changing everything that they've been doing for a long time in their practices because their children are coming back and saying, hey, let's try this. Hey, have you heard of that? You got people like Corey Falk who's out there, you know, really helping us to think of different ways to farm. And I think that's inspiring young people to come back because it's not just the same routine that it has been for the longest time. They get to have a say. So I'm really proud of the Golden Triangle for really, you know, seeing that that is an opportunity to bring young people back, get them engaged, let them make decisions, let them do what they can do.
Great comment. I like that. Let's take a minute here and talk about consensus, because as you're working on the H-2A reform bill and the farm bill goes through Congress, you noted that there's support for the H-2A reform bill. Are organizations coming together? And maybe typical that they have not been on the same page, but they are getting on the same page about the things that they need to work on together. What's your sense of that? It's very encouraging to me.
Yeah, and what I will say is that all 50 states have decided to put this as a top-tier priority. We get to pick 5 priorities as NASDA that we really want to focus on, and labor reform is one of the top 5 now. This is the first time that it has been, so that tells you that the consensus is there. We are all on agreement that we need to have some things change when it comes to farm labor. It also ties into getting young people to come back. Nobody wants to have a 80-hour-a-week constant job. But what they do want to have is a highly productive farm. And how do you do that? You get some more people in there to help you to do it. If I had to ask my kids to do everything that happens on our farm right now without the help of our H-2A workers, they would not be there. I know it. They would not be there. They would be burnt out.
Well, Tom, for my money, I think Jillian's one of the strongest ag directors we've had in Montana because she comes from a farm, because she understands, you know, the value-added processing that she's had, and they're a big part of the community there in Chester. Yeah. I mean, Jillian, you guys bought a restaurant because you needed to support the community. I think that's what we need, people who will invest in our communities.
Yeah, I mean, thank you very much for saying that. You know, I was going to do a farm-to-table restaurant there in Chester, and then I got the opportunity to do this, so I said to Tyler, I was like, what are you going to do? And he's like, oh, I guess I'm going to do what I want to do. So it's got a golf simulator. It's got beer. It's got pizza. It's kind of a blast. But, you know, I'd heard this at one thing, and I think it's really important and really impactful. You know, think about how many of you in this room invest in the stock market. Now think about how many of you in this room would invest those same funds into your local community. And I think that's a question we have to ask ourselves, because a lot of the times we're like, somebody else can fix it, the government can fix it, a program can fix it. We can fix it. invest in our communities. If you want to see things happen in your community, invest in your community.
It's the quietest this room has been all morning. Thank you so much, Jillian Street, for what you do as well and how you do it. We appreciate that. Your heart is in it,
right? Thank you.
It's all, you're all in. I know all these people are all in on this as well. That's vitally important, and that preserves our values here, too. Thank you. Director Jillian Street, Montana Department of Agriculture. Great job.
Thank you, guys.
All right, welcome back here. Just got a minute to wrap this up. The fourth annual For the Farmers Tour. We've launched it here. Great Falls and Conrad this week. Courtney Kibble-White, President, Vice President, Northern Broadcasting System. Good morning.
Good morning. We're so excited to be in Conrad. Just want to invite everyone in the area out to the Pondere Golf Club tonight. We'll be there a little after 5 o'clock. We've got some gift bags for farmers and T-shirts that show up, so please join us. And we're getting ready to head out to Kessler Martin's farm, so looking forward to seeing them.
One of many that will be touring here today.
Yes, we'll also be headed after that to Jerry Phillips, headed up to Pat Wheeler's, Mike Wallowine. Hopefully we'll stop by Scotty Buys, and we're going to finish the day with Chris Ellis, a few town pump stops along the way, one of our sponsors. So it should be a pretty awesome day.
Look for social media updates on both the Northern Ag Network as well as Voices of Montana. Want to thank all of our guests today. Jillian Street, Director of the Montana Department of Agriculture, Cindy Johnson, President of Montana Farm Bureau Federation, Corey Falk, and Brian Ackleston.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.